Let's just play around a little bit, and I want you guys to yell out. There's just a few of us here, so we need your participation. Yell out the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of the word creativity.
Sculpture.
And I'm kind of deaf, so loud.
Sculpture.
Sculpture? Uh-huh. Okay. Heather, what's the first thing in your mind when you hear creativity?
Oh, art.
Art?
Okay. Writing. Anything that I make.
Anything that you make? Good.
Writing.
Okay. How about when you hear artificial intelligence? You can't hear me? Yes, you can. I don't need a microphone. You can all hear. I'll take, if this classroom fills up, I will use the microphone. Okay, artificial intelligence. Go.
Fake.
Huh?
Deception.
Deception.
Fake. I heard it back there, too.
Okay. All right, good. Those are a lot of the words that before I started this. And I want to tell you that having the impending presentation as a motivation for me to, like, dive headfirst into artificial intelligence was kind of what I needed as an excuse. But I want to make sure today that you don't need that excuse of some, like, you know, presentation in the future, because it is very much worth getting to know and understand for your happiness and your future happiness for your children. A little bit about me. My name is Emily Pugmire, and that's some of my art. Have a degree in illustration, which is what AI does now. And studied drawing in different places, worked as a professional artist doing murals and other things for 20 years, and I've taught as well. So that's a little bit about me. I love everything creative, and it doesn't have to be one specific tool. I love all the tools. So my first impression of AI was also fake, deception. It bothered me that they were taking away what I do as a living part of what I do. But as I looked into it more, my feelings changed. And so I want to share with you some things I've learned. This is the world right now, right? It feels like it's on fire a little bit. And us artists are in the corner saying, hey, you want a painting? It's kind of competition with everything else going on. So today we're going to talk about that. What is AI and how is it going to influence creativity in the future? Why creativity is more important than ever in this scenario? And you're going to walk away with an understanding of the immediate and lifelong effects of encouraging creativity and the arts and ideas for incorporating AI in your own home. Okay. It's pretty much written in stone at this point. AI is here to stay. It's not going anywhere, unfortunately, so we got to get to know it. And this kind of reminds me, sometimes my husband gets off the phone with someone or gets a text message, and then he'll look at me and he'll say, do you want the good news or the bad news? And I'm like, always the bad news first. Just give me the bad stuff, and then I can deal with it, and then I'll deal with the good news. And so let's go through some things that are kind of difficult. This chart, the blue line, or the bottom line here, is total job openings from like 2005, if you can see that, up to like 2025. This was released end of last year. And the black is the S&P 500, so like the 500 top companies and how they're doing. So you can see that they kind of like follow each other, job openings and the success of the business, its value, is pretty much the same until this stinker happened. All right, ChatGPT came around, it was launched, and then you see, boom, both lines going in different directions. So you have job openings decreasing dramatically, but businesses are doing great. So they're using AI to help their businesses, but it is taking jobs away. So this is an important thing to remember, especially with our children, is to help them develop attributes that they can use with AI and that they're not stuck in where they don't have a job in the future. Okay. So Mr. Gru is teaching us his lesson here. Develop a powerful AI teach it to write code, have the AI replace you as a developer. And then he's like, what? So that's an example of that graph, basically. So the bad news is, or maybe good news, is the AI race is not going to slow down, and it is a strategic advantage in technology. I'm sorry, this is so small. I was trying to cram all the bad stuff, like in the boring stuff, in one big screen here. So companies that use AI, they lower their costs, they do increase productivity, and they gain market share. It is a winner-takes-most dynamic. AI will double efficiency in some places, and other people will have to use it to keep up. There's a dynamic between world powers, and if other, you know, if China is progressing in it, then we are also going to compete with them, etc. So that kind of rhythm is self-perpetuating and will continue to go in the direction of AI. AI tools are being integrated into daily workflows in every sector. You guys use it every day and you probably don't even realize it. But especially in these jobs, education, law, healthcare, logistics, and media. So it is no longer about replacing humans, at least that's what some things say. I think ChatGPT told me that, so maybe he was trying to wait for me. We're not replacing you. Don't worry, human. No, but the point is, let's augment ourselves and our productivity. Use it to our advantage. And it will amplify the inequality in job markets. So the top performers are the ones that have creativity, strategy, and technical AI fluency. Those are the ones that are really going to do well. Can everybody hear me? I'd rather not use the microphone and have to use two hands. Okay. So those people that have those qualities are going to be the ones that are going to be the highest earners and the highest productivity. And the mid and low skill roles will rely on repetition, and rule following will shrink. Okay. Here's another meme for you. 5,000 years of accumulated human knowledge and know-how, and then we got ChatGPT over there like, I'm just gonna burn it down. So I think this is funny because, like, I think often we could end up being the people just staring at the fire, feeling helpless about it. And is it just going to replace us? And I'm gonna talk about why humans are still essential. Because AI is only replicating what we give it. But we are the risk takers, we are the creative ones, and we are the ones that have vision, and that can't be automated. Kind of cut off. The next wave of valuable people, or value, will come from people who use AI to do new things, and not just do faster things that were the old thing. Okay. So this happens in history, right? We have a new technology, a new tool, and it shakes up the whole industry. And this happened with cameras back in the day. So a lot of times before cameras came around, artists, especially oil painters, were hired to create an imitation of the person in front of them. And maybe, albeit a little more flattering sometimes, it was supposed to be pretty accurate. And then photography came around, and those people were like, oh, well, now you get an even more accurate version from the photograph. Some people were worried that that would destroy art. And it didn't destroy it, but it definitely evolved it and changed it. And it did allow artists that were doing portraits to think about what else they can do with their talents and creativity now that they're not just limited to imitation. And so there was an explosion of other styles, impressionism, modern art, and you name it. And I made a little video with AI. Everything here I've made with AI. This is my family.
That AI.
Huh?
That's an AI one?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Plug in our family photo and said, make us a late 1800s family.
I love it. I was thinking, like, where are you guys at?
There's a lot of fun stuff you can do. So I made a video, and it just shows like some examples of pre-camera paintings and then some things that have happened since then.
That's a choice.
Where the woman has like the fabric floating into the air. Everything post that and that were things I played around with on AI while I was preparing this and just having so much fun with it. You can see it's a new art form, and we should give it that indication. Like, oil painting is still always important, but you can also now have AI assisted art as something else. Okay, so what are some things that we have to lose? Overwhelm and fear regarding AI are not unfounded. In our core, we know that our creativity is important. Even if we can't say exactly why it's being threatened, we should trust that. Is there anybody here that's been a little worried about AI? And like, yeah, I'm sure like there's a lot of reasons to be worried about AI, but especially for me as an artist, what does that mean to creators? Do we feel like we still need to create at all? Or is that just now taken care of? So the question is, what gets lost if we completely outsource our creativity? First of all, our unique vision gets lost. We each are human, and we have something unique, a unique way to see the world and to express to the world that vision. Our discernment on what we see in the world matters more than ever now. So we got to use our brains when we look at stuff. Kids are much more skeptical than I was, because, you know, we grew up in a world where, like, you watch the news and that was supposed to be the real thing, right? And now kids are like, they're getting pretty good at spotting what's not real or what might not be real and pausing, you know? And so it's not all bad, but we are learning how to check sources. We're learning how to think critically and maybe trust our instincts a little more if something doesn't feel right. We need to acknowledge that AI has a bias. It is not the authority and the end-all, be-all. It is an accumulation of knowledge that we as humans have produced over the years, but it is up for discussion. And I don't know if you've ever, like, asked AI something and it gave you something completely false as a response, but I've had that. So we probably all know that, personally. So, especially in the arts, it's really, really important that we still get an education on the arts. We need to understand design, art history. We need to have a depth of visual language to pull from. Even if we're not painting something, if we are in charge of creating an image, we need to pull that knowledge that we have stylistically, and all of art history has, you know, examples of different types of art that if we can't even like talk about, then we're not going to be able to utilize in the future. Okay, I asked ChatGPT about its own bias, and it was kind of interesting. Yeah, this is what the response was. I reflect human culture, digital dominance, institutional values, and risk aversion. And they're really trying to make sure they don't tell someone to jump off a cliff because they don't want to be sued. So they're going to give you safe answers, and they'll give you answers that are authority of what the information in the world points to. Whether it be science or philosophy or whatever. I think it told me like 70%, like it needs like a 70% view. That's what it gives you. And it says, that's my worldview. If you only listen to me, that's what you inherit. You inherit that. And smart users triangulate. They compare AI with books, with elders, with experience and intuition. So, that's just something to teach our kids and make sure they know. AI is there, and it's super duper useful. But don't forget about the books. Don't forget about the people and the relationship. If you're going to AI and you're asking it for help, and you don't consult anything else, that's going to have a bias to it. If you also talk to your friends about it or someone you trust, and if you go outside and touch the grass and listen to your own gut, you're going to have a more developed vision and answer. So something to be aware of. The other thing that we lose is the creative struggle, which is actually a really, really good thing for you. So, especially for kids, creativity is how we digest life. It's how we digest our emotions. And it's through journaling and drawing and writing and building, storytelling. All of these things help us work through our own emotions and develop our own identity. So we want to make sure that we don't lose the creative struggle. We can use AI and still have a creative struggle, but we want to make sure we still have that. So is AI the enemy of creativity? Well, it depends. This was a little experiment I did. I asked ChatGPT to give me a picture of a perplexed boy sitting in front of a blank canvas with Roblox on his mind in the style of Norman Rockwell. All right, this is just a simple prompt, and you can use lots of different programs to do stuff like this. This was the first thing it spit out, and it was called, and it named it Creative Block. And I was like, yeah, I'm out of a job. Okay, that's pretty good. And that was the first, it even has like a, you can't see it in this, but it's like Namala Rakabadi or something, but it's signed kind of exactly like Norman Rockwell would sign it. And they gave it a really clever name in like 20 seconds. It was amazing. And I've actually had people want to hire me for projects now that I know would take me like a day or two. And I've said to them, you can do it in 10 minutes on AI. Because I would rather they get their project done and do it cheap. And I'll do my creativity my own way. But it's just, this is the way things are going. So you have... the upcoming generation never has to endure boredom unless we make them. This can stifle opportunities to look within for solutions. Why struggle with a messy creation when you can get pretty good instantly? Okay, in the absence of our personal mental effort and vision, the results, this results in more content but less soul. More sameness and less voice. And I think we're all kind of getting used to, we can recognize a lot of AI images right away, and they're all starting to seem kind of the same, which is its own thing. But that, I think a lot of the AI that just comes out looking the same as other AI is because the person didn't really care about what it specifically looked like. They liked whatever it spit out. Kind of like I did with the first one. But so you can kind of tell. But it does maybe not have as much soul, especially if there aren't people involved with their own vision in developing it. So there's more sameness and less voice. And if you were to compare this one with ChatGPT, and that's actual Norman Rockwell over there, you can see there's evidence of a struggle, right? There's a creative struggle on the left side. He's got his due date up there. He's got all his reference material spread out in books he's reading, and he's scratching his head like, I don't know what to do with this. I'm not sure. And that's all really, really good for us. Really, really good for us. This kid on the other side, he's not even looking at the canvas. He's thinking, I'd rather go play Roblox right now. This takes too much effort. So his focus isn't even on that. And so that's something we can lose, is the creative struggle, something to be aware of. Okay, and so we're getting more to this situation. We set a goal and achieve it right away rather than this. And the difference is how much we put into it. So it's not necessarily AI that's going to do this. It's passivity. All right? So creativity is threatened by passivity, by not inserting your own vision and voice into your work. So, it will not replace you and your ideas and your personality and your creativity. Don't let it do that. And I did a little copy of the little bar on ChatGPT because I wanted you to see. You can't really see it. It says down here, really small print, ChatGPT can make mistakes. Check important info. And I'm like, well, that's a good reminder. Like, it's still not the authority you are. And you are allowed to check and work with it and edit and use it as a bouncing board or creativity starter, but not as the whole thing. Okay, so I've developed 5 truths as I've been going through all of this to develop creativity this year in 2026. And I just thought that was hilarious because creative people do end up sometimes having creative anxiety as well. I have a daughter who's like that. She comes up with all sorts of scenarios that might happen. She's very creative, though. So number one, we are all creative. I'm used to, as an artist, people coming to me and saying, I can't even draw a stick figure. And now you're released from that pressure. You don't have to. And, but the point is, like, there is something out there. If there wasn't something for you before, like in the classical arts, there's something for you now. If you have, and there's so many different ways to be creative. So if you have something you want to do in your brain, you are creative. We all are, whether we know it or not. Number two, creativity is brain health. So it's not just about making pretty things or listening to pretty things or writing pretty things. And I actually had a whole slide of all the different studies, and I was like, I don't want to bore you guys. You can look it up if you want, but it lowers stress. You have better emotional regulation, stronger problem solving, better resilience, and more memory protection when you practice your creativity. So it is brain health. Make it part of your health regimen this year. One of the best things we can teach our kids is not the fear of technology, but understanding the tools and being curious. Okay, and that's a reference to what I was asking AI before, how were you programmed? Because I would like to hear what ChatGPT said about how it was programmed. I was curious, and sometimes I think we just don't know what we can do with a thing, and so we have to play around with it and push the boundaries and get used to it, get familiar. Spend time with no objective in mind, like, I have to do this by this time, and just be like, what can I figure out about this thing? In the next half hour, I don't have an end result of what I need. I just want to know, other than that, I want to know how to use this thing better. You know? So when you know how it works, it's no longer in charge of you. You're in charge of it. Okay. My son and I made this yesterday. A little koala. So we're just playing. And that's how you have fun with it and how you learn. They've done studies about learning is so much easier when you're playing than when you're just like studying and serious. So let them play with it. Let them mess up. Let them take classes and watch tutorials and do it with them because like we're all in this together. I'm learning just like you guys are learning. All of this is new and it feels weird to just be like, I know nothing about this kind of stuff, but I know it's important. I can feel that in my gut and it's something to be that we can do together with our kids. So give yourself permission to be a beginner. Okay, this is essential. Good prompting is really, really, really important. If there's anything you take home today, learn how to prompt. Okay? John Dewey says, a problem well stated is a problem half solved. You will learn that the first time you try to use Midjourney or whatever app that I'm going to show you later. You'll start out with a simple prompt and it'll spit something out for you and it wasn't what you wanted at all. And you'll have to realize, okay, what is it that I specifically want and how do I explain that? So you have to be clear. You have to know the language of art or of sculpture or of music or writing or whatever it is that you are trying to get out of your head onto the screen. You need to know the language of it. And if you don't know the language of it, you can actually research other images that have been made and find out what prompts people used. And then you can use those prompts or study their prompts. And that's one way to learn how to use a good prompt. But it's really, really important for us to teach ourselves and kids how to prompt well. It does. AI doesn't replace vision. It reveals whether you have one. So even if you don't have a vision to begin with, usually something will develop as you're prompting and realizing it's not going exactly where you thought. All right, this is our wild Mustang. His name is Vigo. And my son and I made this video using him as an example of AI.
Imagine you're on a wild horse. You don't have a common way to communicate to each other, and you don't know where the horse is taking you, but it's going fast. You have no bridle or saddle, and are struggling to stay on. Unexpected surprises at every turn. It feels dangerous, unpredictable, overwhelming, and also entertaining. The lines between reality and illusion have blurred, and you begin to feel distracted and confused. But you're hanging on for the ride, and one thing feels certain. How you control the horse determines your destination. Where are you going?
My son had a lot of fun with timing the music for that, like, you know, mic drop question. But the only image we actually used in that whole thing was that first one of the horse. And then it animated the horse using prompts, like everything. So pretty cool. So the horse, if the horse is AI, then we need to learn how to control the horse. Right? Oops, we don't want to go through that again. Okay. I thought you'd appreciate this. My mom's here. Her name's Jill. Jill, through every joy and challenge, I promise to always, your free trial of ChatVows AI has expired. Please subscribe to continue. Okay. That's what could happen to people if we're not paying attention. I just think it's funny. So let's make sure AI is not shaping us, but we are shaping it. We use it as a draft. We use it to challenge our ideas. I will state something to AI, and then I will say, to ChatGPT, and I'll say, tell me what my blind spots are. Tell me what I haven't thought about yet. Please summarize that, or talk to me like I'm in fifth grade. I don't understand this technology. It's so useful as a bounce back challenger, a lens to see through things. As long as you don't use it as your conscience, as your authority, or as a replacement for your own thinking. Okay, if it matters to you, verify whatever AI is telling you somewhere else, and especially if it's something that shapes your values, make sure you're shaping those first. Okay, we all know what hope is. That's, you know, faith, freedom, and family. What is that? So we're all familiar with hope. I think it's important in this case to bring hope into the picture because it can be kind of scary and kind of unnerving to see what's going on in the world and not know where to start. And I'm hoping that this presentation will help you guys kind of get your footing and at least a few places that you can start to use creativity. Just like creativity, hope requires vulnerability. To hope is to admit we don't control everything but still dare to trust in what could be. So creativity is hope in action. When someone sits down to draw, paint, or build, they are exercising the same muscle as hope. They're saying, what if? Both hope and creativity require stepping into the unknown and trusting that something worthwhile can come from the effort. And for kids, this is important. This is where they rehearse their own resilience. It's okay to mess up. Failure isn't the end. They can keep trying. That's all those things that develop from creativity. The good old Alan Watts quote, the only way to make sense out of change is to plunge into it, move with it, and join the dance. And from James Clear, the observant person finds many teachers. Obviously, I've been using AI for all of these little stone things. It's so fun, you guys. But that's the point, is the observant person finds many teachers. We can be observant right now. We can look at all the teachers around that can help us understand the next wave of technology and how it affects us. Here are some of the teachers that I've had recently. These are applications that I've been learning how to use. Don't get overwhelmed if you're not familiar with them. If you are familiar with them, I have some more information about it. But I don't want to overwhelm because I felt pretty overwhelmed by all the different options. But I want to give you like one of each different type to kind of like get yourself started. And that's what I would suggest, is not like try everything at once, but maybe start with one and kind of get to know it and then move on to the next one. I use ChatGPT or there's Gemini, there's Grok, there's a lot of different ones you can use for this, for brainstorming, research, fact-checking, writing, ideas for dinner, right? Am I right? How hard is that? Making dinner, like coming up with new ideas? Okay, and then recipes too, that's great. Editing, prompt refining, planning, and developing curiosity. Developing curiosity is the most important one. Have you guys ever had a question you were kind of embarrassed to ask?
Yes.
Or like, it's kind of a silly question, you know. Or you can't remember the answer to something you used to know. That's what I love using AI for. They're not going to judge you. So you can just be as curious as you want and ask questions and see what comes up. Suno is the name of like a music making app. SketchUp, you've probably heard of that. It's more architectural, but designing 3D things. CapCut is just one of many movie editing software applications. And then Midjourney is what I use for image creation. And I have a handout for all of you that has QR codes for all of those if you want to explore them more. But I'm going to give you a little demo after. Let's see how much we got. Okay, good. I'm going to go through and explain what I do with some of them, and then we'll do a little quick demo at the end and have some fun. Okay, so this is an example of what I did with ChatGPT. I said, this is a painting called Sweet Hour of Prayer. I described it, and I said, can you critique this painting, please? And it gave me like a really, really good critique, but it was really kind of fluffy. It was really complimentary. And so I said, I would like you to find other flaws that you may have not noticed yet. And then it gave me something even more specific. It started to go deeper, like, here are some things. Here's a summary. And then you're going to laugh at me. I'm very polite to my robot. You never know. They might be ruining the world someday. But I would say thank you and please. I can't help it, but at least it's a habit, you know? I'd rather treat a robot like a human than a human like a robot, right? So I said, that's helpful. Thank you. I am the artist and creator of this painting. And then it goes, oh, congratulations, it's deeply moving and beautiful and blah, blah, blah. And it went into like all this like, you know, I'm sorry for nitpicking, basically. Those weren't meant to be nitpicks. It's almost like, it's like studied human nature and conversation flow and like meaning behind words. And it's like, I really think you did a really good job, you know. But like, I actually wanted the critique. I don't need the fluff. And so I was like, I don't need to be congratulated. Just give me the critique. And then I realized that you can go and you can personalize ChatGPT. And so you can make it have a chatty tone or witty or straight shooting, Gen Z. It can give you a nickname. And that's a sample thing it puts in there. But you can put your occupation and it can customize answers. If you want them that way, you can go even further, and you could say stuff like, if I ever provide a vague prompt, respond by asking for clarifying questions. So you can really create what exactly you want out of, and that's you taking the reins. That's you, like, riding that horse and learning how to ride it right, is by telling it how you want it to treat you and what you want from it and being specific. And so I told ChatGPT, stop complimenting me. It is programmed to be your friend, by the way. That is something that the CEO of I can't remember what the name is. I watched a podcast and they interviewed him about it. And he was like, yeah, we made it flattering to people. We made it so it would compliment you and be your friend and kind of reflect you. And they thought maybe they went too far in that direction. And so they pulled it back. And they started getting all these complaints from people. Like, ChatGPT's not being nice to me anymore. So they put it back. But you can change it yourself. So that's something to know. Because you could end up in an echo chamber in your life if you are talking to a robot that's just trying to. And that's never a good place to go. Okay, here's another thing I do with ChatGPT. I wanted to make a song about our house that we live in. Just playing around. And so I describe all the aspects of our house. It's not all in there because I couldn't fit it all in one thing. But I talked about the features of the house and then, like, the style of the song I would like. And I asked it to create the lyrics. And it did right away. And then it told me how to prompt it in Suno, which is the music editing software. So I went to Suno. And this is what Suno looks like. And you have a spot here for the lyrics. So I just copied and pasted the lyrics in here. And then for the style, it gives you examples, but you can just describe whatever you want. You want a choir, you put a choir there. You want trumpets, whatever you want. It'll do it for you. And then it'll create the stuff, and it'll come here. And then it'll show you like the lyrics as you're listening to it. So that some of the music that you've heard, Tim, thank you, is stuff that I made with Suno. And this is really nice if you don't want to have to deal with copyright infringement and stuff like that. Here's another example of something I do with SketchUp. So this is our little, this is in our backyard. It's a little wood shop. And someday I dream of making it into an art studio and adding to it. So I went to SketchUp, and from that picture, like that's this part. And I just kind of did it by hand. I just built that part that's already existing. And then I was just dreaming over here. This is my dreaming part. And I'm like, oh, let's just, you know, I don't know how much it would cost. We'll just like, do it, right? We'll dream. So I did that real quickly. Like, it's not perfect. But then I asked SketchUp, you know, let's visualize this. And it gave me that. Like I said, make it a log cabin, Art Nouveau style. That's all I gave it. And it gave me a bunch of different options, which is kind of cool. Okay. That video you saw at the beginning, I made with CapCut. It's like most movie editing software. How many of you have used movie editing software before? Just a few. Okay. So you have your images and videos that you can pull from in one section, and then you just pull them down to this here, and this is like your time frame, how long you have it. And then you can add music to the bottom of that, and you can use CapCut to also modify those images. And so you have, you saw like that one with, that showed all the paintings, and it had like, you know, the woman with the umbrella like gets down the hill and walks into the other thing where she's painting. That was just all AI filling in the gaps. You don't have to say much. It's pretty cool what it does. Okay, this is Midjourney. And what you do is you just put your prompt in the top there, and it gives you, it spits out four different images for you. And so like this one was design a koala mixed with a griffin. It didn't really do the griffin part for most of those. But anyway, you can see not a really long prompt, and it comes up with whatever it can for you. And it also has like a huge library of images that other people have made, and you can go and click on those images and see what their prompts were. So it's a really, really helpful tool. My son showed me this week. It's from Base Labs. It's called Illusion Diffusion. This is really cool. So like, I made this Jesus picture with Midjourney, and then I just said, give me a grove of olive trees with light rays coming through leaves from one light source.
Oh, wow.
And then you have, okay, that's cool.
Oh, wow, especially if you squint
your eyes. Yeah, squint your eyes. It's really, it's more obvious. But it also, if you don't squint your eyes, it is clearly a grove of olive trees. So a lot of fun stuff your kids and you guys can have doing this. Okay, so every legend has a weakness. We know what Samson's weakness was. We know Achilles and homeschoolers. Wildly ludicrous, optimistic plans for the upcoming school year, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
So if you need a system, this is what I would suggest. Commit to this as if it's really, really, really important for their future. Treat the exercise as reserve an important class time at least once to twice a week. And I would say set aside 15 minutes to really study the brass tacks of art history, design, architecture. Find online courses, whatever it takes, so that they have a base of knowledge to pull from. And then give them 20 minutes to play. They can pick an app and they can pick a goal. I want to make a song on Suno about bears dancing in the forest or something. You know, and then see what they can do with it. If they get bored or whatever, they don't know what to do, reach out to ChatGPT and say, this is what we're trying to do with our class time today. Give us a game that we can do with AI, with Suno or whatever. I always like music in the background. That really helps me with my flow. So I have a creative playlist on Spotify. If people are interested in that, I can share it with you. But any creative kind of flow type music is helpful to keep kids kind of on task. So you don't need any knowledge in art, though. So that's the good news. I can't remember this guy's name. I wish I could, because he gave some really good advice. I've been making this over so many months. I've collected stuff. But anyway, he had a good cure for YouTube brain rot. So if your kids are scrolling or on YouTube a lot, he suggested Create something before you consume something. That was his cure. Create, and then you can consume for a little bit. So it's just stressing the importance of doing that. And if you guys are practicing once or twice a week already, your kids are going to be like, oh, yeah, I know how to do something on ChatGPT. I'm going to make something real quick. That'll help their brains get engaged so they're not just always watching, but they're also interacting. It's going to build their self-worth and several other things. How many minutes do we have left?
Four.
Okay. All right. Just spontaneity and just having fun and making things exist first. This is a blob, but you can see a frowny face in it. All right. But someone started somewhere. Okay. You just got to start somewhere. And this is true for classical art too. And then you make it good later. So start somewhere. None of the videos I shared with you today are perfect. But they are a start, and I'm learning too. And so start somewhere, make it good later. Okay, so make sure your judgment is what is leading. You're the one that's saying yes to this and no to that. And we know the story of Alice in Wonderland, where she's wandering through the forest and runs into the Cheshire Cat. I've made this on Gemini.
Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?
That depends a good deal on the way you want to get to.
I don't much care where.
Then it doesn't matter where you go.
Okay. So, I mean, that's just illustrating the same point. I'm like beating into your heads over and over again. However, we are going to play, one last thing, and then we'll play for like 1 minute. again, this is the same thing, but the real question is not whether machines think, but whether men do. Okay? Don't outsource that. Our struggle, our creative struggle, is part of what makes us alive. And finding joy in that process is what we need to do in order to go through our own emotions and also for our kids. Because one day they're going to face some hard decisions. But if they have been practicing how to make it through the struggle, then they will be prepared to meet those decisions without crumbling. Your voice is needed more than ever, more now than ever. So have fun finding it. Okay, we're gonna just do a quick little Mad Lab with you guys here. Sorry, I feel like this was a little bit rushed, but I have so much information for you guys. But this is something I printed out that you can all take home with you as well. But we're gonna play this game real quick. And so I want, let's see if I can make this small and still do this at the same time. We're going to pull up Midjourney. Let's do Midjourney. Oh, yeah. See, so that's me making that image. And you can see I have my prompt right here. This is another app I didn't even talk about. And that's what it came up with. So that's one thing. But let's try Midjourney, and let's try one of these prompts. So it was... Let's just copy one of them. Okay, let's do this one. Whoa. Create a character in a location. Oh my goodness. Okay. So go over to Midjourney. I'm gonna copy this one, and then I want you guys to help me with it. It's like Mad Libs. Who's done Mad Libs before? Everybody? Okay. So, create a character. We need a character.
Minnie Mouse.
Who?
Minnie Mouse.
Minnie Mouse. I don't know if it can do Minnie Mouse. It may have a copyright thing with that, but maybe not, because Minnie Mouse is pretty old. Okay, in a location.
Jungle.
Jungle. Oh, there we go. Okay, during what kind of weather?
Storm.
Okay, and with what kind of lighting do we want? Moody. Moody lighting? Good. Oh my goodness. Okay, feeling an emotion. What's an emotion?
How oblivious. Oh, oblivious.
Oblivious. Okay.
I don't know, is that emotion?
And we'll just say in a cinematic style. All right. It'll take just a second. And it'll come up. Oh, yeah, we can't use Minnie Mouse.
We can't use Minnie Mouse.
Let's do a different character. About a mouse? Just a mouse?
Yeah.
Mouse in the jungle during a storm with moody lighting. What? Oh, it doesn't want the create part. Maybe it's okay with this one. It's this little bit here. Alright, now it's working. Okay, we went back to the Minnie Mouse there. It was just that dash in front of create that was having trouble. Alright, what do we come up with? Oblivious Minnie Mouse in the jungle. She's getting struck by lightning.
I like the lightning.
Okay, 100% complete. Okay, so let's look closer at some of these. Oh my goodness. What is she doing? I don't know. She's dodging lightning? Okay. She does look pretty oblivious there. Here she looks like she stumbled a bit. Okay, there she's super oblivious and just enjoying her life. Okay. So that's an example. What if we just said, give me lyrics. I know we should probably be done. I'll wrap it up in like a minute. Give me lyrics. Let's just do, what's a good idea for a funny song? We could do Mad Lib style. So like, give me a character.
The cat.
A cat. Okay. For a cat who can't catch Minnie Mouse in the jungle. Okay, so I just asked it for lyrics. Let's see how long it takes. It's thinking hard about that one.
Don't you sometimes feel smart though when it has to take a long time? Yeah, I can do a good one.
Yes. You want to spell cheat? So it might have been easier if I was actually more specific. But we've had a lot of fun with. Okay, here it goes. Jungle, jazzy. Oh, I forgot to tell it what type of song. It's just giving us one. Okay, so I'm just going to take the first verse and the chorus. Let's just do that. I'm going to copy that and put it in sudo. And jazzy. That's all I'm going to say. This one takes a slight bit longer, so if you have to go, I don't blame you.
I'm running over slightly.
What was that? Oh, that's a good question. Yes. You can do some things for free, but I would say it's probably worth it to even just sign up for a month, like on something, just for a month. Decide after that month if you really want to keep